Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Positive Partners, a dog training show that we have here on RGCA. Today is a scary show, and it's about what may scare our dogs and how to, you know, help them cope. I don't know if they might ever get over it, but they'll learn to deal with it, hopefully, with a few tips from our expert over here at Tom High School.
Do I have a little thingy for me? Anyway, I'm
yes.
Dr. Tom High School. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I cross-trained to work with animals at the Karen Pryor Academy. We're going to be talking about various phobias, thunderstorm fear, fireworks, gunshots, things like that, vacuum cleaners. It's all in the same kind of area. And we'll go through some slides here to put up what we're going to be covering today. In the first slide. Okay. Most all of what I'm talking about here comes from the DVD by Dr. Nicholas Dodman, Storms and Other Phobias. Dr. Dodman, as you see, is a veterinary behaviorist director of the Animal Behavior Clinic at Tufts University and a researcher.
What kind of phobias would they have? What's the range?
Well, a phobia is a fear that's just so extreme, it's out of proportion to the situation, and it gets in the way of the dog's normal behavior, handling things.
Mm-hmm.
Phobias can be of anything, things that are, you know, sounds, sights, smells, people.
You know a dog that's afraid of smells?
Dr. Dodman talked about some dogs, a couple dogs that we didn't like the smell of cooking lamb, whatever. Dogs sometimes don't like the smell of alcohol because they would associate alcohol with having had some rough treatment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it can be a
three of my dogs, not that they've ever been treated roughly or been into a home like that, but three of them don't like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got a beer, a little shot of whiskey or something,
mm-hmm.
you show it to them, they don't like it.
Yeah.
The other one, though, she loves it, whatever it is.
Okay.
That's the female. The boys don't like it.
So phobias, let's go back to that slide that we were on there. It can be are due to both hereditary and early and later experiences. They have behavioral, emotional, and physiological components. And the next slide. Dogs often have overlapping fears. We're kind of talking about the various kinds of fears. 40% of dogs with storm phobia also have separation anxiety. Thunderstorm phobia usually begins before age 1, gets worse typically in middle age, ages 5 to 9. And that's about the time when veterinarians hear from people or veterinary behaviorists do, or dog trainers.
Do you think there's a difference between dogs that were born in the spring and they have to grow up in a very small, you know, they're very little during the summer, rather than a dog maybe that was born in October and then grows up during the winter time, and then, you know, by the time June comes around or May comes around again, then there it is. Do you think there's any?
Well, what you're getting at there is early experience.
Right, that's what I was.
And you've got a window, and this is a good point for puppy socialization. You've got a window between, let's say, 6 weeks and about 12, 14 weeks, when whatever a dog experiences during that time, as long as it's not over the top, is for that dog normal? So
right.
that sets that stage for, you know, this is going to be okay if you encounter this again. And the more things they encounter that are manageable during that time, then the more adaptable and steady that dog is going to be later on.
I like to call it imprinting.
It is something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sets a print there.
Right.
And you were talking about with dogs, don't take your puppy to the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. People think it's a great idea to do that. I don't...
Yeah. You want to expose puppies, but you don't want to terrify them. You want them to be interested and, you know, and get some feel for things, but you don't want to overload them, because if you overload them, that will stick. You know?
Would you be able to do that with, movies at home? You've got, play a battle scene from a World War II movie where you've got booms and explosions. But it's a lower level. It's
yeah.
not the earth-shaking explosions like we have, you know, with cannons and fireworks
yeah.
and that sort of
if
thing.
If you've got a big home theater system, then you want to turn your bass down.
Subwoofer down.
Yeah, and your subwoofer down. You want to make it at a level that the dog is noticing, you
mm-hmm.
know, and kind of maybe cocks its head a little bit, but isn't, you know, cowering or, you know,
yeah,
startling.
Yeah, gets worried, where, what is that?
And worried and looking around, yeah. And so you, on all these things, on all treatment of phobias, you have to read your dog, see how are they responding, are they managing, and are they taking a notice of something and staying well short of going over the edge with it.
I took my Bernese Mountain Dog to the soccer game, and when our soccer players score a goal, they shoot off a cannon. I forgot about that, and he about like took my arm off. And there are certain times that our new puppy will get scared, and then she'll just disappear.
Yeah.
And she's under my desk in the other room.
Yeah, that's probably her. That's her,
that's
safe,
her safe
place. And we'll
place.
Talk about safe
right.
place. Now, what you're doing, and I used to have snakes when I was a kid. This is obviously not real,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't bother me. However, what you don't want to do when you're getting anybody or anything over a fear is say, put on your big boy pants, you know.
And immerse them.
And immerse them and say, you know, you're going to have to stay in that chair
yes.
with that snake.
This is going to work great.
This is going to work great. And you're going to stay there until you're over it.
Yeah.
You know, you're exhausted. You're emotionally wrung
out. Or until they pass out.
Until they pass out, right. You want to do gradual exposure. So wherever that safe spot is, in an aquarium, and then maybe observe someone else looking at it in an aquarium, somebody else touching the side of the aquarium. You go step by step. And on all these points here, this is with most phobias, unless an owner is particularly careful and patiently step by step, they're probably going to get ahead of the dog and end up frightening the dog, and they're going to wonder, why is the dog not feeling better? Well,
and that would come into play here in the country where you have people like to go hunting with gun dogs.
Sure.
So do you know how they make them accustomed to that?
Well, I assume what they do is they you know, set off a gun from a distance and then move closer and
yeah.
maybe associate that with something that the dog enjoys, you know, the game that they're going to be going after, and the dog's interested in the pheasant or whatever that's there. And
so that they
know
that good experience comes with this loud sound.
Mm-hmm. Which is counter conditioning.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you just have a gunshot at a far distance where the dog, you know, looks up, notices, and that's all that's going on, then you've got desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they heard it, they noticed it, nothing bad happened. No big deal.
My guys have gotten over that to a point. There are people on hills around us that, you know, practice firing guns and stuff. And at first, the guys would be in the yard, and somebody'd fire a gun, and it's like, let me inside, and now they don't pay any attention to it.
Okay.
But
yeah.
that's over there. It's not like
right.
I'm doing
not,
that.
It's not just outside the front porch.
Right.
Right. So if you've got a gun dog and you're shotgun hunting or something like that, the dog's hearing that at very close range, then that's you're desensitizing and counter conditioning.
Now, would people put
at a
earplugs on a dog?
It's a good idea.
Because, I mean, you know, when
oddly
we go
enough,
shooting.
Yeah, right. You dogs, there have been some look at dogs that are gun dogs. I'm not an expert on that at all, but somebody did a check on that, and it can affect dogs' hearing depending on how many shots they're, you know, exposed
right.
to.
I would imagine it affects our hearing.
Yeah,
would
sure. Yeah. So most hunters or some hunters will have some hearing protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, when I go to the range, then I'm wearing something, earplugs or something.
Yeah, makes sense. Thunderstorm fears are the very hardest to treat because thunderstorms have a whole lot of parts to them. They've got the sounds, they've got barometric changes, they've got humidity, they've got ozone, they've got static electricity being set up.
Things that we may not notice, but the dogs can pick up on.
Yeah.
And they'll hear the storm a lot farther away than we will.
Yeah, they sense it with whatever's going on. We're looking at a clear sky and nothing's going on, the dog's starting to react. So they're picking up on something. It's not ESP. There's something sensory that they're getting. Because their hearing goes much lower than ours and much higher than ours, which means maybe for the vacuum it's an irritating sound for us, but they're hearing, you know, something like, you know, that's even more, it's like a dog whistle, you know, for them and more irritating. Let's talk briefly about treatment. We were talking about your dog goes underneath your desk.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find where's that dog's safe place. And so you talk about managing the problem there. You're talking about counter conditioning and desensitization. Counter conditioning is when you have the feared thing or sound or stimulus, whatever it is, and then you associate the feared thing, predict something good happening.
Right.
And you want to have the feared thing at such a lower level of intensity that the dog's noticing it but not getting into overdrive about it.
So a little rumble of thunder, here's a treat.
Yes.
A little rumble of thunder, here's a treat.
That's right. And the thunder predicts here's a treat. And that's what I did with my dog. We were talking about the fears can, just because the dog's fearful of one thing, just like us, doesn't mean that they're going to be fearful of other things. So my dog loves fireworks, Bo does, but is moderately anxious with thunderstorms. And so since we're, you know, together a lot, I could notice when he was starting to sense something was coming up, and when I could hear that there was a little bit of thunder in the distance.
That's fine.
Okay. Got it. Anyway, then we played Thunder Chicken. So he knew what I meant when I said, Bo, listen, you know, and so... You know, and then very low amount of thunder in the distance. Thunder, yes. You know, and eventually we got to the place where, and he and I have a good back and forth. So anyway, it got to the point where the thunder was right overhead. It was really loud, and I would say, "Now wait, we want to wait for a big one." You know, thunder. You know, and it's something. Kaboom, like that. And I said, no, that wasn't big enough. We want a bigger one. He understands what bigger is. So if I ask him to wave bigger or to ring a bell bigger or something, he understands to make it more intense. Anyway, so I said, we want to wait for a big one, you know, and then there'd be a huge one. And boom, that was a big one, yes. So he, you know, you could almost see the disappointment in his eyes when the thunder was like, that's not big enough. You know, I'm not going to get my chicken until a really big one happens. So that worked with him because I'm around him a lot.
The only thing that's bad about thunder and storms is it's unpredictable.
Yeah. And if you, now there's another, so we talked about counter conditioning, which is associating something good with something frightening. So on that aspect, you want the equation to be whatever's good is really good, whatever's scary is a little scary. So the balance is heavily in favor of what's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got like, if I'm like throwing this snake at you, and say, you know what, I'm going to give you $5 for holding this snake. It's kind of like, you know, no, that's out of balance.
I'm going to need like 50 bucks, right?
You're going to need a whole lot more. Yeah, probably a lot more than 50 bucks. You know, and a whole lot more than 50 bucks to feel good about it, for
right.
sure. Yeah, okay. Now, there's another thing here on treatment that's a storm defender cape. We were talking about the static electricity that gets set up. And it seems to help to have dogs in some sort of cape or tie around so that possibly that acts as either, well, they take some of the static out of their fur.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a protection around them, possibly.
Yeah, this thing has like a mylar inside there.
Hmm.
And even without the mylar, something around them helps dogs more often than not. So that's one of those can't hurt kind of deals. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
Now, one thing I was kind of like happy with one of my guys, when he got scared of a storm, he went downstairs
mm-hmm.
and hid.
Yeah.
Which is like, thanks, because if there's ever like a tornado or something,
yeah.
I want
nowhere
him
to find
on the
him.
Lower level.
Yeah. And if you happen to have a downstairs that is, and the dog likes to go down there,
mm-hmm.
that's a really good, safe place because you can put
if
some
I'm
stuff,
away.
Yeah.
Right? And then he'll protect
mm-hmm.
himself.
Yeah, you can put some things. You want to put things across the windows, across the drapes, so that the flashes of lightning, you know, don't really get much around there. You
mm-hmm.
want to put some bright lights, so if some flashes do get in, they're not really overpowering.
It's like not from 0 to 100.
Right.
It's like 80 to 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
In intensity.
In intensity on the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then put some white sound in there. You know, either a sound machine or something, or some soft music. Probably not rock, hard rock music that
mm-hmm.
kind of hypes dogs up. There's a thing called through a dog's ear that are soothing CDs that are specifically designed to be calming for dogs. And they're
is it calming,
calming
for you?
People. Yeah,
okay.
I like it. Yeah, yeah. It's like just a little behind the beat, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there's a kind of, I don't know if it'd be off the subject or not. There was, I think, somebody making a channel for dogs that you could leave
dog
on.
Dog TV.
Right, you
right,
could leave
yeah.
on during the day. I wonder
yeah.
if that would.
Yeah, it'd be something to look at anyway. It'd be a distraction, you know. And so.
And most of my guys, 3 out of 4, really don't care about what's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real because,
yeah.
you know, I've got stereo speakers, so the sound doesn't come
yeah.
from what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And there's no scent.
Yeah, right. The absence of scent makes a big difference.
Right, so it's like. Yeah. Whatever's on TV, flash around,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, and dogs' eyes take pictures more quickly than ours do. So if you've got 30 frames a second, for us that looks continuous.
Mm-hmm.
For dogs, it looks like one snapshot after another. So you've got to have a good TV with a fast refresh rate,
mm-hmm.
or otherwise the dogs are seeing it as a series of pictures instead of
mm-hmm.
continuous motion. But I think your point, you know, that they don't have the smell, you know,
right.
that's going on. Now, I've... okay, then we get down to, well, there are other adjuncts, you know, with dogs, just like there with people. It's like, okay, do you try this diet, or do you try this supplement, or do you try, you know, these aromas and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those is shown in research, so far as I know, to be proven for an individual dog, you know. Anything may work, and if it does, then that's all to the good.
Like a lavender is supposed to be calming
yeah.
for people.
Yeah, and can be. So whatever you can put in there that might help, if you can keep track of kind of if you've got some combination that's working,
mm-hmm.
you know, then get a video of your dog and take one element out of it and see if that makes much of a difference. You kind of want to go on what you're actually observing instead of just a belief. There
mm-hmm.
that something's making a difference. Then you get to medication. Usually with something, if the dog has a severe phobia, and particularly a storm phobia, treatment is going to really need some good planning. And if you're working with someone who is experienced with working with phobias and can take things step by step so that you're keeping the dog moving forward instead of setting them back by overstimulating them. If that isn't enough for that dog, or that dog is desperate, that dog is
drooling and panting.
Drooling and panting and just extremely uncomfortable.
Right.
Medication can make a difference. And just like medication, these medications are usually the same ones that are used with people, and they work in much the same ways because our nervous systems are really real similar, you know, once you get down to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And so dog Prozac can be helpful. Just like with medications, psychotropic medications for people, you want to have someone who is really familiar with how those work with dogs. They've got some real experience. So in terms of resources, we can go to that slide. First off, talk to your vet about the problem. You've tried all that you can, maybe you've worked with someone who's got some, you feel, good experience working with fears and phobias, and you can only get so far, and it's not good enough. Your dog is very uncomfortable. You feel badly about what they're going through. You don't have peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And on the point of the Storm Defender cape, better to have that put on the dog when you know it's going to be needed rather than leaving the dog in it all day long,
right,
every day. Because
there's another thing called a thunder shirt, too.
Yeah.
It gives them pressure.
Yeah, thunder shirt, too. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're kind of related. Thunder shirt relies more on pressure, and this other one is the idea of static. But you can even take a T-shirt and you can go up on YouTube, and there's some ties that you can do that make a difference. So you wait and see, but you want to, if possible, put this on when you need it or just before you need it. So if you have to be away at work, if you've got a neighbor that the dog's comfortable with, he can come over and put that on the dog, or if you can come back at noon or something.
Back to the conditioning thing, do you think the act of putting the shirt on is going to give the dog a precursor, like, oh, no, something's coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
I better start getting nervous now because I know what that means.
Right, yeah. That's a good point. Dogs will associate whatever. They're going to try to figure things out. Right, yeah. So if the piece of equipment offers relief, then that's still okay.
That's
you're right. There's going to be an association there. So when you need to talk about medication and you're talking to your vet, and that can be either for any phobia.
Have you personally used any medication?
I didn't have to with Beau, but he was only moderate.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure what kind of side effects, because they always talk about side effects.
Yeah. And that's why you really want to talk. If your vet is comfortable managing the problem and you've educated yourself, you want to read as much as you can. Dr. Dodman I took most of what it is, storms and other phobias. It's from Towser Dog. And then this is from Nicole Wild, fearful dog. She has a bunch of good points in there. So really educate yourself. That'll make your work with a trainer who's knowledgeable more effective. If you need to go the medication route, educate yourself on that, talk with your vet. You want to read about recommended and not recommended medications. Dr. Susan Becker, who's a veterinary behaviorist, has looked into that carefully. And there are a variety of medications that work well. There are a few of them that she says, might want to avoid those. You can check on the website, the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, and these are 100-plus people throughout the country.
Put up that white slide again there.
Yeah.
That's the second link there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is, at the Ohio State University, there's Dr. Megan Heron and her residents who is a veterinary behaviorist, and there's also one near Louisville, Kentucky. You can also check on that last slide, the American Society of Veterinary Behaviorists. These are veterinarians who have joined this association about animal behavior because of their interest in that area. In general, when you are talking about fears and phobias, you want to manage the situation to provide the dog as much safety as you can. And when you are desensitizing, you want to, and counter conditioning, you want to do that when you can control when that fearful thing is happening. So if you're trying to decondition and desensitize, or counter condition and desensitize the forms to the storms, you want to be doing that December through January, February, because our thunderstorm season is really happening most of the rest of the year. So once you're into March, April, May, June, et cetera, you're managing basically or working for medication.
And I would also probably add that don't freak out yourself, because animals or dogs will feed off of your feeling.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
if you want to be reassuring. If you see on the radar something's coming, don't go, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah, right. They will react off you, right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to, you know, it's okay to offer reassurance in a calm atmosphere. That's different than saying, oh, poor baby, oh, poor sweetie, where the dog is actually, where you're actually feeding their fear, you know.
So just be calm and reassuring. Don't, like you say, feed the fear and, you know, give them, I don't know if you say too much attention or the wrong kind of attention.
Right. You want to be reassuring rather than like you're real uptight about it, too. It's
right.
Like, okay, yeah, I heard the thunder. You're fine.
No problem.
You know, no problem. Yeah. You want to convey that. So exposed to a low level of fear in a managed situation, counter condition with something the dog enjoys with play or with food treats or maybe massages, games, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and do that incrementally. Go slower in terms of your exposure rather than going faster.
Because you can turn it around a lot quicker, too. You can make a U-turn.
You could make a U-turn, if you get ahead of yourself.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for your interest in this really important topic. And do some reading and check my website when I get that going eventually.
Okay. And thanks for watching Positive Partners. And I'm not sure what we have next week.
We'll have
next
to figure
month.
That out.
Okay. We'll talk after the show. But this is a monthly show, so it's all archived on YouTube. So you can check out the whole playlist. We have some pretty good information. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next month on Positive Partners.